Alrighty, so this might be a little bit rough trying to figure out how to do this because I'm about 5 minutes late getting started. So my bad on that. And we're also I'm going to try to start getting done a lot earlier to give you guys some time to, it's just kind of awkward, you know, and if I go all the way up to 11 and then Jonathan starts right at 11, it just doesn't give much time for fellowship and people kind of start pouring in at about 10 till, and, you know, they're wanting to talk in the back, and that's all fine, and so it's going to be short, and so thinking through this, I've been up there working, trying to chop my lesson in half, and so it's fine, we're just going to make it a two-parter. I'll do the other half next week, but trying to figure out how to do it, so we'll just see. Romans 1, though, is in verse 18. Says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And really, like I said last week, the rest of Romans just goes on where to the point of just about every single verse starts out with the word for or therefore and it's really just because it's just a whole train of thought that you kind of have to follow step by step. But he's trying to get to a point, and he's like, this is how you need to think about this. Let's start here. This is because of this. This is because of this. This is because of this. And but I want to start again with something I kind of talked about last week, and that's in verse 18. And just this thing about the wrath of God. It says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Okay? So that's kind of step one, or maybe it's the last step. I don't know if he's back thinking, but again, I just wanted to point out, I know I said this before, but when we think of the wrath of God, which isn't talked about too often, but okay, to me, that's just the simple fact that God does have things that makes him angry, you know? He is completely love, and it's completely fine for us to think of God as, yes, he's love, just like a parent, you know, all loving, but also has things, you know, that he's angry about. There's things that he really dislikes, and there's things that he dislikes to the point that there's going to be judgment, you know, for. And when Paul's talking here, I want you guys to think in two ways. I want you to think in terms of, yeah, there's a judgment and a wrath, obviously, in hell and at the end and on the great day of the Lord. There's a big time, you know, pouring out of all this. But there's things now, you know, there's disciplining, obviously, and there's things that are making him angry now. There's measures, I think, now of his wrath being shown in certain ways, and I'll show you how. It's all right here in Romans 1, and it might be next week, but that's where we're starting out. We have the wrath of God, and the two main things that the wrath of God is being revealed and shown against are ungodliness and unrighteousness. Two actions of men, ungodliness and unrighteousness, okay? So when I'm thinking wrath, what specifically makes God angry? It's those two things, okay? And so let's just go from there and walk through our steps. It says, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And so one example and the main example of what unrighteousness does is it produces this action of suppressing truth, okay? This is one of the main reasons why God gets so angry, you know, about it suppresses truth. And so what unrighteousness really does then is it says something inaccurate about God. It really does. It says something when you walk out ungodliness and unrighteousness. It's not just your failure, okay? It's you're saying something. Your actions are saying something. So when I choose to love money, you know, when I choose to worship money and put put, you know, worry and fear, you know, for with money and all this stuff above God, and I let it be central in my thinking, and I'm trying to think how I can always get more or how I can save enough or maybe I don't have enough, you know, I'm putting all this above God. What I'm saying is that, you know, that money is more pleasing than God. That's what my action is saying. You guys kind of see that? I mean, it's just every one of our sins. Every time we sin, we're actually saying something, and we're saying this thing is more valuable to me, it's more important, it's more satisfying, it's more pleasurable than God himself. That's what my actions say. Obviously, we don't always agree with that, but, you know, for brief moments we do. That's why we choose to sin. And so, and every time you do that, every time you're saying that, you're lying. You know, you're getting in agreement with a lie, and when you get in agreement with a lie in your life, you suppress truth. Okay, that's the actual action. It's suppressing. You know, it's like that thought where truth should be out and abundant, and God has just made himself clear in everything, and he's living through your life, and you have the Holy Spirit in you and working through you, but this unrighteousness of men can actually come in and overshadow and suppress down who God really is. It's interesting that God made it this way. Actually, I'm just going to jump just because I thought of it, but when I wrote this down, I wrote, you know, I don't write titles much, but I wrote the title and I wrote, like, just the power and the danger of us having an ability to worship, you know. It's just so powerful, you know, that we can worship God, and that just, we haven't had a revelation, I haven't, you know, of just how powerful that action is, that I can tell God and produce actions and words that proclaim God as who he really is, and he just loves it. And it's also such a dangerous thing that I'm made to worship because I can be tempted to worship all these other things and exchange the truth of God for a lie, which is what Romans 1 says, and suppress the truth of who he is. The dangerous thing that I have such a strong desire to worship something, you know. We got to watch what we're worshiping. It's got to be on our minds daily, you know. It's got to follow the checks. And anyway, that's what I wrote. The title of this whole thing was this and next week's sermon. It's just the danger of our worship. So anyway, I think just a few things I was thinking through. I see us suppressing truth all the time. I see it, you know, and when we're trying to justify our sins, you know, I see us suppressing truth. I see people who say they believe in God, you know. That's just that whole category, you know. People say they believe in God, but they want to kind of change who God is, or they want to twist what they think about him, or they want to have their own thoughts that aren't in agreement with the Bible. That's all in this category of suppressing truth, okay, to try to get God to fit in how I want him to be. And again, my sin is I'm not proclaiming truth about who he is. Now, I wrote this down. What I do is I write a verse, and then I think through it, and I write my thoughts, and then I write a question. And then, so I finished that with a question. I wrote, okay, so why can Paul accuse these people of suppressing truth instead of just being ignorant? That was my question, you know, coming out of that verse. Why does he say suppressing truth? Why doesn't he just say they're ignorant or they don't get it, you know? Because they know the truth. Thank you. And that's it. And how do you know that? Because it says it. The very next verse says it. Yeah, they know the truth. And yeah, that's a question we have to think through. I mean, does everyone really know, you know? Because you always have that guy that comes up and asks you, okay, what about so-and-so in the middle of Africa who, you know, that's always the question, right? Who never had the chance to hear. How could you possibly know that he knows? And all I have to say is, well, I know that he knew something, you know, because it says right here, and I trust the Bible, I trust that God's big enough to do it, but it says in 19, for what can be known about God is evident. Yours says evident. Mine says plain, okay? What can be known about God, at least at some measure, okay, is evident to them. It's plain to them. God, and not only that, not only did God just make it obvious in certain ways, if you go on reading, it says, because God has shown it to them, okay? So on one hand, God just made the earth that way in his creation. He's showing himself. And even if we're so ignorant, which we are, that we don't notice it or don't, you know, recognize that this is God, it actually says that God has shown it to them. That means God is giving revelation about himself in little things all the time. I trust God. That's my answer. I trust that God is big enough and faithful enough that he is actually being obedient himself to his own verse, that he's going to show it, you know. I don't know how it works. I don't know when it happens for every single person. I don't know, you know, I just don't know. But I do know that I think God's faithful and he shows himself to people. And so people at some level know there is a God. Yeah, exactly. And kind of along those lines, I mean, this is how you know that this is true. I mean, stuff like this, you know, that just everyone kind of, that those clicking kind of moments like you're talking about, I know that, it's always so fascinating to me when people tell me they don't think there's a God, but then they'll go on to tell me some, you know, some supernatural thing that happened in their life, or they almost even hint, you know, at God being there, but they still want to almost force themselves to say, I don't believe in him. We have words like coincidence and supernatural and serendipity and science, you know, and we have all these different labels we use to kind of put different terms and make different twists on things. The whole time we know, deep down we know there's God, but we'd rather call it a coincidence, you know. It's just a random, man, that really worked out, you know, or we get just try to put the large label of science behind everything and try to explain away every detail of everything. But you see, I mean, if you just take a look at us, we do this stuff all the time, trying to explain away God, you know, and put different things on it. And why can't we just, you know, anyway, that just proves to me even more that God is God, and everyone knows at some level that God is God. I mean, even Satan worshipers, you know, I mean, they're sitting there acknowledging that there's a Satan, you know? I mean, we're just fighting so hard to suppress truth. So it goes on and it says, 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse, okay? So that's just, you know, I would elaborate on this, but I think you guys get that. Just the clearest way is in creation, his simple creation. If you just, I used to do this all the time when I first got saved. It just blew me away because I never really put God in terms of all this stuff. And we lived out in the country, and I love living out in the country, and, you know, want to get back out in the country. But we lived out in the country, and I'd go for walks, and I'd just start get all these revelations about God just from simply going on walks through the woods and seeing trees and thinking about how things are growing and how the sun and rain have to feed everything. And, you know, just, and we, you know, we'd garden and we'd look at this garden and just, you know, I'm getting kind of whatever. But I just, that stuff would just start blowing me away once you start thinking in terms of, you know, there is a God and having that as my foundation. And then you start interpreting all of creation and what he's trying to tell me. Well, you know, what he's trying to tell me and, you know, in all these different little things. And it's just, it's there. I think you guys get that. 21 then is going to say, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Okay, the two errors of what we do when we suppress truth, we don't honor him as God and we don't give thanks to him. I'm going to cover this more next week, but just to start that out. Not honoring him as God and not giving thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. That's next week's lesson. Going to be how, if we start off from this place, this the path, the dark path we go down. And so, here's what he's saying. If I work this backwards, when someone asks me that same old question, what about so-and-so, you know, I'm going to say they're without excuse. And when they say, why are they without excuse, I'm going to say it's because, because they knew God, just like Stephen said. You know, I'm going to say they knew God, but they didn't honor him as God. And I'm going to say, I know they knew God because God told them about himself. And I'm going to say, I know that he told them about himself because he's made it clear in creation, and he's also explaining himself to them. And I'm going to say, since they refuse to acknowledge God, they're actually suppressing truth. And since they're, and what suppressing truth really is unrighteousness. And God's wrath in verse 18 is against unrighteousness. That is why all men are without excuse. You see, it's just, do that. I mean, someone asks you that question, go to Romans 18, or 1, 18 through 21, and work it backwards and say, this is how I get to that, you know. I start out that all men are without excuse, work it backwards to verse 18, this is why. It's really, it's, and this, like I said, one step leads to another. So, like I said, I want to try to cut this short. I wrote that every person has been given some measure of revelation that there is a God. And in our lostness, we've exchanged that knowledge for the fleeting pleasure of idolatry. I was going to finish this with just a warning against idolatry, and I think I'll throw that in next week. That's just too much to talk about, idolatry. Let's end it with this. I'll just say this. I wish that we would see people this way. It seems like I've been really motivated going through Romans 1. Every week I seem to kind of end it with this motivation towards evangelism, you know. And I get this, that I'm starting to realize this, that, you know, we all can be so dull and lazy when it comes to evangelism, me being the worst. And I try to think through why, and there's just a mindset that you have to have, you know, to be passionate and on fire for sharing the gospel consistently all the time. You know, there's so much rejection in it. You just have to have this mindset that Paul's walking in. You know, this is that mindset that allows the Holy Spirit's power behind it, you know, just to be sharing. And I just want to throw in, with us adjusting our mindset about how we see lost people, I want you to think of people like this. You know, Stephen, when you're out and you're doing whatever you do, hauling crap away, you know, and you run into every person you run into, you need to look at that person and think, the verdict hanging over this person's head is without excuse. You know, that's, I mean, we just can't keep trying to scoot around this thing. You know, all the lost people we're running into daily have that same verdict on them, the same verdict I had on me. You know, they're without excuse. And they're in such deep darkness, okay? You know, I mean, if we would have just covered the rest of Romans 1, just the darkness that's there, you know? That you know, they're not just in some sin and maybe doing okay. I mean, they're in darkness. They're being unrighteous. The thing that God himself, God, you know, looking down says, here's the one thing I hate most. They're in unrighteousness, you know? And they're suppressing truth about God. And they're exchanging the truth about God for a lie. And they're exchanging the truth about God for worshiping animals and creatures and living things. You know, they're exchanging the worship of God, you know. And not only that, but every time they do that, God gives them over. You know, is what we're going to see in the rest of Romans 1. God gives them over to lusts that are unnatural, to sins and strifes and all kinds of wickedness. I mean, that's just, people are in pure darkness. That's how we have to start thinking about people. We can't keep thinking that people are all right, they're going to make it, hope they figure it out soon. They're just not going to. They're in darkness, you know. They've had their chance to know God, and they've rejected him, and they've already exchanged the truth. They're in darkness. And so, finish up my lesson, so I'll fulfill my promise of getting done early. You got to realize again what I said last week, that the gospel is the power of, you know, of God, the power of salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel is the only light. If you start interpreting people like that, everyone you see is in this deep darkness, have this judgment on them. The gospel, that's the light. You can't, you know, there's no tricks, there's no, you know, other ways to get around it. You have the light. That's why you have that responsibility. You have the gospel, and you have the ability to share it. That's the only thing that's going to penetrate such a deep darkness in every person's heart. So, Father, thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. for that, just for empowering and boldness to witness and to evangelize and to know the power we have in the light of the gospel and the power that hangs over lost souls with darkness and the rejection of you, Father. I pray that you'd give us...